Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item. I have no reports to any committee members.
I have one request to put on as an agenda item for the future, our next meeting. There was a project I was working on that would look at saving the county a little money for seasonal when I was the CFO here, and I'd like to resurrect that. What it does is instead of having to pay into social security or FICA, you can put into our 457 plan. So I requested that the company that did the work for us, Precision Retirement, forward the packet of information to finance, and I'm hoping they can bring that back to the next meeting with some update and analysis if that makes a difference.
I have all that stuff.
Mr. Tupper was the one that spearheaded that.
I see. All right. Do you want to put that on the agenda?
Very good.
I think it could save a little money and also might help with recruitment. I can't imagine what it would be like to be an 18-year-old being able to put money in the stock market for the next 6 years.
Further reports, discussion, committee members? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes, August 15 and 16.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion, corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, next item is the CABA second quarter report. Don't see Brock.
Do not see Brock.
I will come back to him. The sheriff resolution on comprehensive opioid grant. Yeah, to the state.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Remember the grant, the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department Detention Division was awarded a $150,000 grant from the Wisconsin Department of Justice to reduce the risk of overdose death and enhanced treatment and recovery service engagement among the pretrial and post-trial populations leaving Kenosha County Correctional Facilities. These funds will enable specialized training of key staff, and by key staff I have Direct Supervisor Officer Ed Parnell, who's the program manager of the grant. And this grant does not require a hard match for the award. Therefore, there will be no tax money dollars are requested to implement the grant award. This resolution requires no funds in the general fund. The grant increases revenues by $150,000 and increases expenditures by $150,000. I have Mr. Hartnell here. If there's any questions on the program?
Many questions, discussion? Perhaps you could answer this. Specifically, what would you inmate coming, leaving the jail or somebody being charged with a crime? What, now what? And you know they have used some sort of opioid drug. What do you do with this money with respect to that?
When they are coming into the jail?
In both ways.
Both ways. So when they're coming into the jail, if we know that there's somebody that's coming in there from, say, an overdose, or they're have an addiction to opioids or alcohol, we are going to use the money to buy a drug called Vivitrol, and we're going to store that in-house and have our nursing staff administer this medication for these folks. We'll use the money for STI testings, which are testings to make sure that, one is for their liver enzymes to make sure that they are able to receive this medication. And for people that are coming in that are already on this medication, a continuum of care. So we'll do it before they come in, after they leave, and then we'll use it for the therapists and other sources like Kenosha Human Development Services, so we can do screenings on these folks to give them the right care once they get out.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else, Bill?
Have we had any type of grant of this nature before? Is this a new thing?
We had a grant probably about 3 years ago, but it was through aging and disability, and that's how this program had started initially. It was only a grant for 8 months, and once that grant ran out, the sheriff's department funded my position, and that went on for a few years until they applied for this grant that came up, and we were awarded it.
So is this basically a one-and-done grant? You just accept it once, that's it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else? All right, seeing nothing, no further discussion. Was there a motion?
Move on.
Is there a second? Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And we'll circulate the resolution.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next item on the, is the Public Works Resolution to accept grants for restoration of the courthouse murals. Kim?
I have a handout, so if you just want to take one and pass it down, when they get to the end, I'll distribute them. I'm going to borrow one because I know there's a supervisor sitting behind me. This is pictures of the grants, or let me have the murals, for which the grant money will be used. I wish you could get them all. There's three murals. And the grant is for $10,000 that we would have to match for $10,000 to, one, fix up one of the murals totally, and then, two, do a study and a recommendation to fix up the other two. Now, if you're looking at the pictures, the one that says, it's got a door, it's above the door, and it says, there's two with above the door, and it's
up hold the right.
Yeah, one says up hold the right. What's the other one say? It's up hold the right. That's the one that they're going to completely redo as part of this grant, and then the other two will be looked at and decided how they would need to be fixed. So the county pays $10,000, and we get a $10,000 grant, and we have money in our existing. We have a budget for anything that happens in the Civic Center, any building improvements, which includes a chunk of money for improvements to the court rooms or the courthouse. So we don't have to bond any extra money. We can just use some of that money in that fund for our $10,000 portion. And we're asking for you to allow us to accept that grant and undertake the project.
Discussion?
Will it be removed and repaired somewhere else, or is it going to stay there? I'm just wondering.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I should probably know that, but I thought they were sort of attached to the wall.
No, the grass goes down.
I can find out. I just don't know.
Okay.
Who does this?
I can't remember the gentleman. Frank Martinelli is running the project. He could help tonight, so I told him I'd fill in. Yeah, I should probably know that.
I don't have any problems with accepting this or using the $10,000. However, I do have a problem with the way it's stated in the resolution. I know I talked to Jim about it, with the Corporation Council, and Joe told me that he had talked to you. Maybe that could be the language in there could be changed, because it's kind of say here that it was passed, was included with the 2022 capital project, which really this was not. We have the money, as you say, and I'm not saying it's legal, it's completely legal what we're doing, but this was not in the budget, so maybe the wording should be changed, that we have the money to do it and no additional capital is required. I don't like the fact that it kind of implies that we had voted that this was put in the budget just for this, item.
I don't know that, do we know or not know? Patty?
The item that was in the budget was the Civic Center replenishment, which is normal, and that's where the funds are coming from. This particular item wasn't referenced in the budget. We weren't aware that this is what the funds would be used for.
So that replenishment is how much in the budget?
$250,000 each year.
Non-specific?
Correct.
To do any kind of project that has to do with the...
As Jim said,
yep.
Many times it's for the acquisition of properties down here, could be for the demolition of properties down here, or for other projects such as this.
Could be painting, decorating, or whatever.
Yeah, painting, yeah.
Dave?
Mr. Chairman, and I can ask staff to help me with the wording, what if I were to make a motion to amend this to say, whereas matching funds are available in the Civic Center replenishment fund, and just eliminate that whole phrase and just replace it with what I just said? Would that be acceptable?
I believe that it would.
To the chairman of the board, would that make it more clear?
Yeah, it will make it more clear. And talking to Joe Cardamone, you know, he said that would be, that's working on something to that effect.
Mr. Chairman, if it would be okay, I would make that motion.
All right, then that's in the replacement of.
And just eliminate that sentence and
more.
Yeah, right. And then replace with the verbiage. Hopefully you have that.
Right.
Could you read that back?
I didn't get it. Nope.
I have. Whereas funds are available in the Civic Center.
How about whereas these matching funds are?
Yes.
Course,
available.
I'm trying to pull up the Word document. It's not opening.
And
replenishment.
Civic Center replenishment. Whatever the tech, whatever the word is, whatever we call that in our book.
All right, is there a second?
And then continue to say, and no additional bonded or budgeted funds are needed to complete this project. You want to finish?
Sure, yeah, we can keep that.
Okay.
All right, there's a motion by Dave, Aaron, second. Discussion. Just about the wording, right?
Yes.
On the amendment.
On the amendment, is further discussion. Yeah, the amendment, youth and governments.
Aye.
Committee, we'll just do a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Close. All right, it passes. I'll circulate this. Okay, further discussion on the main motion as amended.
How did the vote go in Public Works? Because only two people checked aye and.
Well, they.
It was unanimous?
Yeah, there were two who checked aye.
Who were excused.
Excused and the rest signed off. I don't know how.
My understanding of that.
He said it was unanimous.
I checked. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
I'll circulate it. You'll see only two were there who voted aye. All right, further discussion? All right, all those in favor? Committee?
Wait,
yes.
I had one question about the last two. Your restorations, they're above the doors. Did that interfere with any of the proceedings that would happen with the house? Did there be a restoration to them above the doors?
I don't think the first one did that bad or that much.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because the other, that was above the door too.
Mm-hmm. What would it interfere with anything?
Not going on inside.
Just the ceremony.
Two of them are, they're out in the hallways
right
outside.
Above the door.
These are outside in the hall.
Yeah. This is an inside ceremony for him.
You have to walk around the ladder.
Don't walk on your ladder.
All right,
Mr. Chairman, I would move the resolution as amended.
Second. Is there a second? Further discussion? Right, we'll vote on this as the main motion. Two students?
Aye.
Aye.
Balance the committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, I'll circulate this. Don't just put your check mark there.
Thank you very much for approving that.
All right. All right, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. The resolution is coming around now. Next item, number 9, Public Works again, restoration, resolution approve a flat plan for the South Kite River Restoration Project. Is that to you, PJ?
Yes, sir. Anytime that Kenosha County wants to purchase any kind of land, a flat plan has to be approved. This committee and the county board and our committee. So this flat plan was, we ran this through the Public Works Committee. They approved it unanimously. And there's some pictures and diagrams and things attached. But these are the three sections of land that the county would have to purchase in order to complete the South Pike project. I think altogether there are about 250 acres.
It's Brian.
And this is property is between 60th Street, Highway K, and Highway 142. And basically it runs from, it's east of Highway H and west of Highway 31. Really west of the railroad tracks that are west of Highway 31. So, you guys, I think, all know a lot about the project itself. But before we can enter into any kind of negotiations with the three landowners, and we have hired a company called CORE, C-O-R-R-E, which is a real estate expert in this type of thing. But before we can do anything, we have to have this committee and the county board's approval of these plat plans. Now, this does not in any way mean that we can buy these without coming back to the county board. I understand some people were talking about that, but it was all explained in everything that we did. We approved this, we can start the negotiations. If it can't be completed, we can't buy anything without the approval of the committees. So, if this is approved, when it's approved, we can call CORE and we can start talking. And the Army Corps won't let us start without your approval of this.
Yeah. Okay. Some people, I guess, at least one of them, it's me, that was checking that out. I had the longest discussion with Corporation Council yesterday and again today. And his ruling or his legal opinion is that once we sign this, those properties can be bought up there and to come back to us. That gives authority to purchase the property. And that was his.
Jim,
yeah, specifically, he's talking about the first, therefore be it resolved, where it says the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors approves the plat plan shown in the attached Exhibit A that is attached and incorporated by reference. And I'm pretty sure that Chairman Noodle's comment is about the next 9 or 10 words.
Right.
Which I'm not probably supposed to make amendments, but I would just stop after the word reference.
Where are you attaching by reference?
He's
an act of the
Yeah, he's.
It does say in the next paragraph that to execute this transaction according to state law.
He's just suggesting the elimination.
Yeah, I understand.
You got it.
I make a motion to amend the resolution to remove the wording and the resultant acquisition of property associated with this project.
All right. Is there a second there?
A second.
So the again, this has the word reference and then strikes the next paragraph too, right?
Just the next sentence or the remaining of the sentence.
Remainder of the sentence.
But to be a further resolved statement.
Yeah, because that's just saying, in my opinion, that next be it further resolved is just saying that we're going to follow the law in our acquisition or our that the county administration is going to follow the law to execute the appropriate documents.
I disagree.
You disagree?
Well, you could just say openly that the real estate acquisition will be approved by the board. That's what you just got through saying, right?
We agree that what Chairman Noodle is saying is that makes it sound like we're asking for approval to be able to buy the property, and we're not asking that, and we've been pretty clear about it in the past, but we don't want anything on there. So I agree, for whatever it's worth, that should come out of there. And the way I read the last one is, once you just say it's the plat plan, then the transaction that we're authorized to execute is
just the plat
having to do with the plat plan.
Right.
That's the way I read it, but I'm
because
wide open to whatever you guys want.
Once the resolution just says plat plan, that, or Exhibit A, which is the plat plan, then the next sentence refers to that, so it does not include the acquisition.
Right. So the motion is to strike the words beginning and the resultant acquisition of property associated with this project. To be struck in, who seconded that, by the way? You did. All right, discussion on that?
What we're looking at on the screen here, is that in line with the amendment that's being made to this? Is that, it's on the screen, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Does that agree with your?
I personally feel that it's enough to do that. And again, I'm going according to the discussion that I had with Corporation Council, and that is very vague even on that. And I don't feel comfortable. Personally, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know if that matters or whatever, but also, why would we get flat if we're not going to? You know, for true, how much is that going to cost us for to do that?
I mean, I have no problem putting in with what you said. It, just take out the last paragraph and say any final purchase decision is up to is subject to, even though that's our rule anyway.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes.
What is Supervisor Nutter, what's your Chairman Nutter, what's your issue now? If that gets removed, what is your issue?
Because it's still.
The next result, that's your issue?
That's a problem, you know, with that. And again, I am.
I understand. Are there documents that the administration needs to execute to get the plat done? Or is it, once we approve this, it's good? I don't know.
Well, I think it has to be registered or something, somewhere. And anytime you're going to buy the land, it would have to be registered with that flat land. That's all that has to be done.
All right, so what about this? So further resolved that this resolution, one, approves the flat plan, and two, any acquisition of real estate must be approved by the county board of supervisors.
What can you repeat the second part? Can you?
All right, last paragraph. Be it further resolved that this resolution approves the plat plan and two, any acquisition of real estate shall be approved by the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors. Striking the balance of the language.
Why don't we clean it up?
Yeah.
Instead of into and also any acquisition of real estate.
Well, the previous resolution approves the flat plan shown in Exhibit A. Can we say, be it further resolved, any acquisition of real estate shall be approved by the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors? How's that?
Perfect.
So
okay. Take out the words between resolved and acquisition. Or,
what?
So remove that. This resolution approves the plat plan and two. Take that out.
Is that right?
Delete it all the way to resolve.
Oh, okay.
Because we already talked about the plat plan in the previous resolve.
Okay. There would be the Department of Redundancy Department.
Yes, it would. And this is government, so that is what we do best.
All right, do you have that all down?
Doesn't it look correct, or?
You want to read the last paragraph back?
Be it further resolved, any acquisition of real estate shall be approved by the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors.
All right, very good. So that's the new language. Was there a?
I'll accept that amendment, friendly amendment, I guess, or change my amendment. I don't know.
Who approved it? Who made the motion?
I did.
You did. All right, is there a second by Jim? All right, now a discussion on this amendment. All right, seeing then, let's take a vote on that. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just for clarification, okay? By saying that this approving the plat plan shown in Exhibit A, Right, so basically we don't have to do anything else, because I know you were talking about calling the floor or whatever that is to start negotiations,
yes,
or get appraisals, you know, whatever. We don't have to do any of that, or do we?
Well, we have to do that. We have to talk to CORE, and they have to talk to the landowners.
So basically, it's kind of negotiating with them, and CORE, of course, is going to cost, is going to charge money at that.
Yes.
And how much is that going to be?
I think their bill is about 50 grand to do this. We can't do that on our own.
I understand. Again, I had problems to start with this, and then I have even more problems now. I don't know if it's for me, I might be out of order to discuss the reasons why or whatever, but there's a lot of things that I'm not quite comfortable with. You know, because we got $2 million to buy 200 and some acres of wetland, pretty much. That's uncalled for. That's unrealistic. That's one thing. And then we have $2 million approved in the budget, you know, the funding. If we go out and spend that $2 million now, well, pretty much, it kind of forces us to approve the rest of the money later on date, which we're only a month away from the budget. We can talk on that. And then if it's approved, if people want it, then we'll go ahead and do everything. I don't see what the rush is to do it now and versus waiting about a month and a half or two. But it was put on the CIP, I believe, for another $2 million in 2023 or something like that.
There's $2 million in there, and there's nothing right for 23. It's that's this year.
So that's in the budget.
But it's in the past budget, $2
million. Yeah.
But now, then it was in the CIP, another $2 million or $3 million in 2023. Well, if we do this, we have to spend.
There's $2 million, $2,100,000, correct me if I'm wrong, $63,000, this year's budget, 2022.
Okay, then we need extra money if we go ahead, purchase the land, we need extra money to finish the project, which is estimated, and we put it in the CIP to possibly put it in the 2023 budget. And after we spent $2 million, I think anybody would have a hard time to say, well, we're not going to approve that. We already spent so much money. And since we're so close to budget time and everything, I think it's worth the wait to see what's going to happen. That's my opinion.
Aaron.
What was the, did the CIP or the bonding get reduced for the?
The bonding got reduced. The budget did not get reduced.
Right, but the bonding budget did.
Correct. Because the expectation was that we might proceed and get two of the parcels acquired this year, but we were not going to get the third one acquired this year. So why borrow the money now if it was not going to happen until 23?
So how much did we actually bond for the bank?
I believe it was $738,000. There was like $1.5 million that we put on hold.
Okay.
And that was like the
so
third
what's
parcel.
The $2 million that
the combination
goes?
Of the two. The okay. item in the budget in the CIP was $2.2 million somewhere in that neighborhood.
But there's not $2.2 million.
We did not borrow $2.2 million at this point.
So where is it money?
We borrowed $738,000. The $1.5 million would be borrowed next year based on where we were in negotiations with property owners and what the end result was going to be.
So theoretically, you might have enough for the negotiations, or you might not.
Right.
And the money is authorized out of the regular budget, not bonded. You bonded for the $7 million?
The authorization is within the CIP. We just did not borrow the entire amount at this point.
So borrowing the $700,000.
Correct.
Only a portion.
All right, so there was a motion made by Aaron and Tim seconded it. We're on the amendment. Further discussion? Yes.
Please again.
Chair.
I have a lot of questions.
About this resolution.
On the amendment?
On the amendment.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought we had strayed off of the amendments quite a distance.
Do you want to say something?
Not on the amendment.
All right, anything further on the amendment? Let's vote on the amendment then. You said government? How would you like to vote?
This is just on the amendment.
All right. Committee, voice vote sufficient?
Sure.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All right, one dissent. All right, on the motion as amended, yes.
I would make a motion to defer this resolution.
Second.
And I had a second, so if I may, I could speak for my.
All right, but defer to a specific time.
On the discussion, I'll mention the time if I'm permitted. So, my motion is to defer this to after the budget. Based on this discussion that I'm hearing, we don't have the 18-volt bonding resolution fully in place for this. So, I looked through the information, and the county's share of this is roughly $4.5 million. And we've only approved the 18-volt initial bonding resolutions for the land purchase of 2.1 million. So what we could do is we could end up buying the land, not getting the 18 votes for the balance, and owning this land. I think we need to get that squared away. I'm not saying I'm against the project. I'm just saying I'm concerned about leaving a major deficit. So normally the process for the county is to bring the bonding resolutions in and integrate them into the budget adoption. So that would be the timing of my deferral, that at the time of the bond approval, they would bring the 18-vote initial resolution in to finish this project also. So that would be, that's my motion, mm-hmm. that we defer it until that point, and then we bring the resolution back after we have all, we know we have all of the bonding in place to finish this project.
Is there a second?
We have a second.
I have a question. Didn't the bonding already get approved in this past budget?
No.
Or the 2.2. He's talking about the remainder of the project.
Oh, you're talking about the remainder of the project money. Okay.
We don't have, we need $4.5 million to finish this project, and we could end up with a bridge to nowhere.
Okay.
And I, you know, and that, just as a side note, when we were looking at the 2023 budget, I think we should bring some CIP language in that if we're going to have a project like this, a major project, we should put all of the funding in place for the 18 volt so we don't end up with a bridge to nowhere.
So, question, was that initial resolution for 2 million?
Yes.
It was. So it wasn't really complete?
No.
Just for the amount that needed to buy, the estimated
the
amount
purchase
needed to
price,
buy.
Not
the land.
Rest.
Just the land.
Okay.
What was the thinking of the administration on 2 million versus 4 million?
The timing of the items in the CIP.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may continue.
Sure.
I really want to thank the administration and Mr. Giordano for all the work you did on this. We had this document with the questions and everything. We got a lot of answers here. I heard that the Public Works Committee didn't have this during your meeting, so what this also would do is give us a little more time to, for the any county board member that would want to vet this a little bit more so that we are prepared for it at budget time when we're asked to do the 18-vote resolution. The paper document that I have has a lot of computer links, and so it's not all here, but I think the feasibility study is actually, we could follow a link path to the feasibility study. So. Amongst many other bits of information on this project. So the full county board should have this. This is a major project, and I'm not sure if it's gone out to the full board, but if we're gonna queue this up for budget time, and if there is an initial resolution adopted for the completion, then the administration could then bring this plat resolution back as amended. You know, not giving her a blank check to just buy the land, and I appreciate the comments of the administration, in particular Mr. Tucker. It wasn't the intent to give a blank check. I know you were trying to do that. So, for the record, I just want to get that on the record. You did intend it in this document. You indicated that we intended for each parcel, as you go through the negotiation, you intended to bring it back for approval, so you indicated your intent to do that. So, but that would be the timing of it. That would be the timing of the deferral.
So, Patty, remind us, didn't we adopt a resolution approving of the project?
There was not a separate resolution approving this project. There was, the project itself was reflected in the CIP, spread over 3 years. But when the board votes on the budget, they're only approving the 2022 CIP items. The rest was for information so that the board could understand the entire scope of the project cost-wise. And a lot of the documentation I know was provided during the budget meetings as far as what was involved in this project.
Well, so you agree or disagree? We approved of the project.
You approved $2.2 million to be expended in 2022 on this project.
And then it was bonded for $700,000.
Correct.
Plus $1,000.
Yes.
All right, Dave.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple more comments. It's my understanding that county policy says the project is not approved unless the bonding is in place. The bonding is not fully in place for this, so thus the project would not be approved. The second thing that I think is important for the committee to know, a couple of our questions address any deadlines or timing, and in question 7 and 8, when does the Army Corps grant expire? The answer, there is no expiration date. If there are significant delays, that may be a red flag to them, but this is a significant delay. Our budget is around the corner. And in question 8, what happens after the supervisors approve the LEP resolution? What's the point of no return? And the resolution under consideration authorizes the land acquisition process to begin. Any final land purchase agreement must be approved by the county board, and that's what I was referencing earlier. So in this document, that's what the administration is saying. So we have time to do this. It won't be a red flag to the Army Corps that we're delaying this thing intentionally. But it does require 18 votes in an initial resolution in order to authorize the project.
So we've authorized by 18 votes $2 million?
Just half of it, correct?
We've done that on many occasions, where we bonded for something in year one and then year two or three, well, we finished.
When I was here, we generally did the initial resolution for the full scope of the project so as to avoid, as I say, a bridge to nowhere.
There you go. And then bonded 2 years in a row.
We have 5 years to sell the bonds once we do that initial resolution.
You've done that for other projects.
Yeah.
We're questioning that.
Right.
Further discussion.
I just want to state, it looks like myself, Supervisor Grady, Supervisor Rose, Chairman Rose, and John Poole did not get the document you're speaking.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's right.
I'll give my paper copy.
Supervisor Stock just forwarded us.
Public Works has really, it's a really nice document. They did a lot of work. There's more vetting to be done on this. So, for example, my main question is, and it is answered here, but I want to sit with someone to talk about it, is in this project, I understand that it provides substantial benefit for flooding and 50 million gallons of flooding, which is a substantial safety issue in that zone. And I just wanted to have an engineer, now we have an engineer, talk. You know, I'm not gonna try to do that tonight because I wanna get comfort with that. That's the main thing that I see as a benefit here from the safety standpoint, that, you know, we get this, you know, if the board's gonna approve a thing like this, that's the main safety piece. The second thing I had is there a way we can pare this thing down a bit and still get the main safety benefits? But knowing that there might be some inflation, that we might need the whole $4.5 million anyway just to get the project done anyway. And so they did a good job of saying this is high priority, this is lower priority, but I wanted to vet that out a little bit too. So that's just me, but I think everyone on the board should have the opportunity to do that. This is a big deal, this project.
Jim,
The only thing I'll say to Mr. Gertsen there is, if we pare something down, the Army Corps is going to pare something down. If we cut our 6 million to 4 million, they're going to cut their 10 million to 6 million. And then the project becomes a lot less than it would. And the other, I just want to, this is just to approve starting negotiations to buy the land. So if by some, everyone seems to think we're going to spend 2 million. What if we spend 600,000? What if it comes out to that? We're missing the opportunity to find out what that would cost, and you still have the ability to approve it. What do we do
right now? We only have $775,000 to spend. The two administrations have approved this. I mean, you're speaking on behalf of the administration, so I assume that this county executive, as prior executive, supported this. It sounds like we're backtracking to me. If we're backtracking, tell me. Anyone?
Just a question. Would it be beneficial at budget time to have the numbers from this plat plan as far as this is what it's going to cost us to purchase the land? Would that provide the committee and the board more information at budget time to help us make this decision? That's my only thought.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We have land valuations within the county. We know what the land valuations are for these properties. I don't understand where negotiations become a part of an assessment to define what are the land values.
Are you talking about, we know what assessed values are, but that doesn't mean that's what these people are going to want or.
All bear, I can almost lay odds. They will tell you what the value of that property is. Negotiating with residents to define the value of the property, astronomical. I mean, I'm going to be selling to the county. They're coming in, they want to buy my land versus what is the actualized value of that property. Two different numbers.
So, yes. And if they have, I don't know, I'm not going to make any more comments, because when people buy and sell, it's a negotiation. It's not, okay, I want to buy this house, here's the appraised value. If they don't want to sell it to you for that amount, they don't sell it to you for, they sell whatever they can get. So that's.
Is an eminent domain a possibility?
Sure hope not, because that'll triple the price.
I just see.
All right, further discussion, Dave?
Mr. Chairman. It certainly isn't my intent to backtrack or stonewall the project. This will go to the county board. The county board will make the determination about the project. And as far as one of 23 supervisors, I mean, the budget's just around the corner. I mean, the date is October 6th. What's the budget? October 4th.
Budget's here.
Erase the 6th.
It is budget time.
Erase the 6th. I mean, we're only a few weeks away from the budget, and then maybe another month away from adopting the initial resolution. I mean, we have $2 million budgeted. If it comes in at $600,000, great. Then we've got more to address some of the inflationary issues and other issues. But and as far as the mechanics of the algebra, I didn't want to discuss that in the meeting today. I did want to sit down with the staff and walk through, you know, if we cut a million out, it only saves us 300,000. I'm not exactly sure if that's how the algebra works, maybe not. But I did want to, the bottom line is I did want a chance to vet it, which I don't think, what I'm hearing is the board hasn't had that chance to do that. So that this would also give us the opportunity to do that. And I yield.
It was discussed at budget time. And it was discussed how deeply that's up to board members. Okay, Eric.
I have a question. You're talking about, you mentioned safety. Now I haven't had a chance to read this. Is this all farmland?
I think the part we're buying is all farmland.
So there's no residential homes or anything that we're saving, unlike like the Fox River, where people's homes flood every couple of years. This is farmland we're talking about.
The
floodplain that would normally be farmland that is not farmland because of floods.
Right. Put your questions to the chair. So there is some discussion here about that $50 million and if, or 50 million, not dollars, 50 million gallons. I'd like to have 50 million gallons and $50 million. But so, read the document. It talks about the effect on Hawthor Hollow. It talks about the effect on the country club. It talks about the effect on the Carthage and many other areas. I live right there, so I've seen what happens with some of the flooding. I toured it with Supervisor Thomas, or Zach was with us too. So we were standing on bridges that where the water would have been over our head on some, like the 2017 flood event. So, it does provide some flood relief that goes way beyond farmland. I think the board can now consider this with more data and ask more questions when we're ready for the budget at budget time.
So, Ken, Patty, would that, did you furnish that to the committee?
I did not furnish that.
Jeff, where did this come from?
This document?
Public.
This document is a response, this one?
The one that Dave has.
It's a response to questions that we submitted after tours. I toured with Aaron Carroll, Supervisor Carroll, and I submitted a number of questions on top of what had already been asked, and some of the answers to the questions gave me more questions and more pause than I had going into it, so I have reservations about the project as its scope right now.
Is that from Public Works? Jim, do you want to furnish the committee with that?
We were asked these questions, we prepared the answers, sent them. Shelley and myself and Andy and Dave prepared all these answers, sent them to upstairs who approved it, and then it got sent out to those people who took the tour, answered or asked questions, and the Public Works Committee.
All right.
That's who it got sent.
Can you furnish that to the Finance Committee?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other discussion? Anybody? Dave?
I don't want to imply or make anyone have the idea that the ball was dropped. I think there really was a good job done on all the work that was done here. It was sent exactly as Mr. Cuffer said, as requested. But now the full board will benefit from the homework that the board members that were able to do this vetting did. So now all 23 supervisors will benefit.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion on the resolution to defer? All right, seeing none, why don't we take a roll call vote and then why don't you read back the resolution?
The motion to defer until after the budget as amended? Or
I don't think you said that after the budget, that's why I wanted to read it.
So, okay. What my motion was is that it would be, this resolution would be deferred until after an initial resolution completing the bonding was approved as part of our budget package with the bonding resolutions. And then after that, this resolution would be brought back by the administration at the time that they see fit. So let's say, we adopt a resolution, let's say that it gets approved in November. In November is when we would adopt the initial resolution for this. Mm-hmm. Then the executive could bring this resolution as amended back at our next meeting in November.
That would be November 10th,
yeah.
The next finance meeting.
Yeah. Or whenever the administration deems
appropriate. All right. Any discussion? Questions? No.
I don't think that clarified.
Can you summarize that again?
No sooner than November 10th.
No sooner than November 10th. Okay. Conditioned on an initial resolution.
Yes.
Being approved, the 18 vote initial resolution.
All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll take a roll call. Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, then sorry. That's your new face. You're not from Trevor, are you? You're not your brother, though, right?
Hi.
Okay, we'll bring it back at the November meeting. All right, further.
Thank you for discussing this.
All right, let's move on to human services as the next item here.
This is not normally me, but tonight I am Linda.
Yeah. Oh, I handed them all out.
Linda was unable to be here this evening, so I am presenting this resolution on her behalf. This resolution is for Brookside to accept a grant of the amount of $13,600 through a cost-sharing program. Linda applied for this grant and was awarded this grant. The basis for this grant is to help offset additional incentives that are being paid to employees for shift pickup. There is a match to this grant, but as you all know, the program had already been put in place to give incentives for shift pickup, so we are already expending our portion of this grant. This will just help to offset our expenses.
What kind of bonuses are they charging?
They are giving incentives to pick up shifts, like on the weekends, a certain premium amount. Or when they can't get people to fill shifts, they'll offer an additional premium. I, off the top of my head, can't remember all of those incentives, but I do remember the weekend premium in particular, because that is an area where they're having difficulty staffing.
The values weren't significant, but it is to encourage people to actually earn the shifts.
Was it like a X cents a dollar, or X cents an hour? Is that what it was?
Yes, it was a certain dollar a month.
Okay.
Not on their scheduled weekend, but on their non-scheduled.
Did you want to say something?
I actually have that information in my HR report, so I can.
Okay.
You want me to talk about it right now?
Sure.
Okay. So here's the. This is for the nursing side. Oh, it's for the nursing side.
Yeah. And Linda spoke to this. Last month or the month before, Claire and Linda spoke about it, and had both the human services.
Okay.
And what Ashley's going to speak to is a similar program for ESW workers. So if it would help, she can talk about that, but that won't give you the dollar amounts for this scene.
I believe,
Yeah.
If I recall it correct, don't hold me on that, but I believe it was $2 an hour.
The weekend
for the weekend.
That sounds familiar.
Whatever you want to call it. I believe that's what it was.
That's what it is for ESW.
$2 an hour, and I don't know if it affects it, but I am a CNA at Brookside Care Center, so I'm an employee there. So from my understanding, it's the maximum would be $19.16 an hour. And picking up shifts on your weekend and not on your weekend could bump you up to that premium pay above what was the initial pay and the bump up after the first year pay.
All right.
So, much along those lines, from your perspective, do you think this is a realistic enticement? Do you think people would respond positively to it just based upon what you know on the situation?
I would say yes, as I know a lot of the CNAs there want to pick up these hours and it gives them this incentive to pick up their hours on off weekends. I know many of them that are there on their off, what shift in their off weekend working, and it's giving them this extra pay bump that will help them and it incentivizes them.
Do you think it would be a legitimate benefit in having those slots filled as opposed to not? Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Reverend Brian.
I was just going to move that we adopt the resolution.
Second. Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Use the government.
Aye.
You want to abstain?
Oh, use the government.
Eight in and out.
Aye.
I understand.
You have to understand your vote is non-binding, so from a policy standpoint, very wise.
All right, committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes. The bills have been circulated, and were there any questions? I see their signatures. No comments, questions, all right, we'll move on. Yes.
Quick comment. You receive all of this because I look, you know, the under $5,000 is 256 pages. You have it as Excel on your machine, yes? It's an Excel document, spreadsheets of some form.
The report that you have?
Yeah, it can be exported to Excel.
Okay, it can be exported, but I'm saying you can house it as an Excel. I know we get it as a PDF to prevent us from doing any
from modifying anything.
You can lock that document in Excel. Also, give us pivot tables that allow us to do sorts within. It's a matter of formatting.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why we are not able to convert the document into a format such that I can sort the thing and actually pull up different data sets, sort by.
I also like that.
I didn't know that was a request. So yeah, certainly we can do that, but I didn't know it was a request.
I think the request was made just not when you were here.
Yes, it was.
No worries. That'd be cool.
So I would ask that we find a way to resolve that, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, moving on then to the committee report or the administration reports and the departments, if any.
I have a general fund report.
Ashley was actually first.
Ashley goes first.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't want to jump for
her. Good evening. I'm Ashley Letterman. I'm the Assistant Director of Human Resources. Tonight I have three items to report on. First in your packet that you would have received is this document here. It is the vacancy report. This is being provided to the committee on a monthly basis at the request of the county executive. This report shows current vacancies as of Monday when the report was generated. It lists the position, division, hiring manager, and the HR recruiter. It also shows the number of days open and the number of vacancies for that position. Several of these you'll notice are what we call evergreen. Evergreen means that we just keep them posted for never, like an evergreen tree. So these are generally positions for which we're seeking part-time or casual, such as golf, seasonals, casual, corrections officers. So that's why you'll note that evergreen there. Any questions on the vacancy report at this point?
Yes, sir.
I just see that the corrections professional full-time, that there are 27 openings. Can you expand on that, I guess, if you can?
Yeah, yes, we have 27 openings.
Out of how many positions do you know, roughly?
I don't know the
okay,
LDI card between the two facilities.
Okay. Yeah.
But the 27 is between both KCDC and the pretrial facility.
Okay. Are we coming into issues of being too many positions where it's affecting our ability to keep our jails staff
that
open?
Is,
I know they're always open, but you know what I mean?
They're constantly watching the inmate numbers and the staff numbers. They're making modifications to electronic monitoring. So if folks can go out on electronic monitoring, they're trying to do so. So there are provisions in place that they're working on.
How long have we had a good number of openings in the jail? I mean, is this retirees or is this people leaving? Have we done exit interviews?
Yes.
And is there issues which the county needs to address that we're going to address, or
it's
is it all over the place?
It's all over the place.
Okay,
it's hours. It's it's ours, it's not having their weekends protected because they're being forced to work overtime because of the staff shortages or people calling in. It's
so people are quitting because they are forced overtime, but we can't hire people because it's forced overtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. This, I really appreciated this report. It's a very important report, and I appreciate the work that you're doing to bring it in, and I thank the county executive for having, I think it was her idea to put this forward. So it deals with one of the most serious issues we're facing now, and I would like to continue to see this and make it helpful. So thank you very much. And that, you will be welcome.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Back to what Supervisor Decker mentioned. I think really come budget time, this vacancy that we have on corrections professionals full-time, jailers, basically what we're doing. This has been going on in this county for a long time. I always had my eye on the overtime. I couldn't understand why we're paying so much money in overtime. And it is, it's a catch-22. There's several things that contribute to it, and I'll just touch upon them briefly, but I do think in the budget this time around, we should have not only resources if necessary, but some type of game plan going forward, because it's not getting any better. And one of the things that contributes to it is, I think Racine County, if I understand correctly, took some of their government money and they just threw it at jailers and said, guess what, we're going to pay you $10 more per hour than anybody else in the area. So, you're a jailer, where do you go? Go to Racine County. Turnovers have always been an issue. We've got the competition with these distribution warehousing entities in our area that are paying big money. Work that's not nearly as stressful as being a jailer. So I think it's really one of these things where we have to develop some type of game plan. Just can't throw money at it and it's better. And I don't know really if internally we have the capability to do that. I think we need some things that we should be thinking of going into this budget that can be more of a long-term solution. So if you have a comment made at this point through the chair, if it's acceptable, I think we have to look at this seriously.
Do you ever think of hiring part-time people?
We do, yes.
You do?
So we have a evergreen recruitment for part-time casual. Those are what we call our corrections casual employees. Oftentimes it starts out with folks who are retired from our jail. They decide that they want to pick up a couple extra shifts, so then they come back as a part-time CCE or corrections casual employee. That has expanded to where we're trying to recruit college-age students that are pursuing a degree in criminal justice or some related field that want to train to be a corrections professional or something else later on in their career, and they use this to. The challenge is that there is an intense training commitment on the front end before we will put anybody out on the floor, understandably so. And so it oftentimes requires a full-time commitment to train for this position, which oftentimes our college-age students can't necessarily do. So we've been actively trying to do the CCE program for the last couple of years.
Yes. Through the chair to everyone. I recently met with DA Gravely, who went into great detail about what it means to be short on jailers and when there are too many inmates putting people out on electronic monitoring. So the risk to the community is that the less jailers we have, the more convicted people we have in the community on electronic monitoring. And that those could be sometimes for pretty serious crimes. And we don't necessarily even have the resources to track those people very well. So if we don't address the correction situation in the budget, we have more criminals outside of the jail who are considered in jail with that monitor on, but they're really not in jail. And we don't have enough people to keep track of them out in the community either. So the problem gets worse in terms of public safety, and we also experience this with joint services as well, with Racine County using ARPA funds to throw money at jailers and at joint services, 911 dispatchers, knowing that that's going to be temporary, but people will move in the temporary, especially when inflation is as high. So just just wanted to give you that perspective of how that impacts public safety in the community.
Yes, right. We've seen this in a couple of different ways. We've seen it in judiciary and law. We've seen it here. We've seen it in health as well. It comes up that they're understaffed in myriad departments, but prisons is big. If our jails are understaffed, it has significant repercussions. And as Supervisor Grady said, what's being done to address it? What strategies are in place? Has the sheriff's department or someone defined a strategy to close this delta, to manage this issue?
They're constantly strategizing whenever there is something. So earlier this week, there were strategy meetings that I did not attend, but my director, Claire Kappa, attended with the sheriff and his command staff in terms of what can we do in terms of the staffing levels, the electronic monitoring, making sure that the individuals who might be eligible for that are not violent offenders. It might be related to maybe child support or something of that nature. They were also discussing discussed. Right now it's not a matter of trying to. We don't have the bodies. We don't have people that we can say come via a corrections. Every industry is facing a lack of qualified or even semi-qualified candidates. We're just not seeing the traffic. It's applicant flow. On average, we're getting about 5 to 7 new hires a month in this field.
I'm tempted to borrow the sheriff's own words and remind us that we have no responsibility other than financial oversight for what happens in the sheriff's department and in our jails. So what can we do? According to the sheriff, nothing. Just wait for him to come to us with a budget and tell us what he needs. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
I was going to ask, Ashley, do you know that 27, does that include any defunded?
No, that's only
correctional. Okay, so just I pulled some numbers. So if that does not include any defunded positions, we have 153 FTEs authorized in the budget, and 19 of those are defunded. This is between the two facilities, direct supervisor off, supervision officers or corrections officers. So that would leave 134 FTEs. If we have 27 vacancies, you're talking 20%.
Just significant.
Very significant. So 20%.
How many people are in the jail? They're in, actually, yeah, not
like in custody?
Yeah.
I think the number that I heard downtown earlier this week might have been 225, 230 range, which is at a high right. That we haven't seen in a while.
Downtown?
Downtown. We used to have it higher, but post-COVID, that's been one of our newer highs. But don't quote me on that in custody number.
Those are pretrial people
right.
Waiting, unable to be released because they can't make bond. What is KCBC?
I don't know that count.
Right. How much does a jailer make here versus Racine?
Jailer here makes 24 and some change, I think, starting out. Last year we did a significant adjustment to the pay scale for our corrections professional staff. We didn't come in line with Racine County, but we came pretty close to Racine County, I would say maybe halfway in between what Racine.
If I recall correctly, when Racine passed their resolution to change their wage scales, they're starting correctional officers at $29 though.
How much?
29.
29 for starting.
Yes.
24. We were around like the 21 range.
Now we're 24.
Yeah. Racine, 24 and some change.
Racine County put themselves
in comparison. Why would you want to work here if you can drive 10 miles?
Racine County put themselves in line with Lake County when they made this change.
I see.
And when we were looking at wages for proposing to the board in the budget last year, the HR director inquired of other counties Waukesha County, not Racine County, Walworth County, to get a feel for what they were doing in response to Racine's actions so that we weren't too far behind, but we weren't too far ahead. And they were making their adjustments. None of them jumped up to Racine. What we tried and what the sheriff asked us to do was to at least get the correctional starting wage to be higher than the forklift driver at Amazon or Uline, because, as you said, being a correctional officer is not necessarily a fun job. So we're fighting against the more fun jobs. So if we can't meet Racine and Lake County, at least make us more attractive than these other positions, and we did do that.
All right, anything further? Yes.
Just to go further on this question, in terms of making it appealing to people to be corrections officers, jailers, do we have anything to offer as far as benefits goes that would supersede some of the surrounding counties, the Racine County, say some of the private employers, we have tools there?
I do know that the Sheriff's Department, so for example, Mr. Hartnell, who spoke earlier this evening, he is a direct supervision officer, so he can work in the jail and things like that. We have special assignments that we can offer to our officers that will allow them opportunities for advancement, personal and professional growth, that are of interest to them, and so that will oftentimes retain some of our officers that might not be interested in necessarily working the floor, but then they can work a special program or a special assignment, but then they also help working the floor as well in addition to that special assignment. So we have mechanisms in place to retain some of those officers, and we also have, we've been going through a large advertising campaign with the Sheriff's Department, trying to get the word out. We've been now going outside of the state of Wisconsin, trying to attract folks to come to Wisconsin. We actually have a candidate that heard about us from outside of the state, and they're trying to relocate here to Wisconsin, so.
So come budget time, I would think that in addition to just the dollars that are offered to correctional officers, we should think about the entire package. Is there some benefits or some tangible thing that would make people want to join on stay? It's going to be part of the entire thing if we're going to be successful in our efforts.
Pathway towards foreign office.
Maybe that's the thing, because, you know, as you probably are aware of this table, there's a distinct difference between being a sworn deputy and a correction officer. Correctional officer doesn't have the A or the, I think, prestige as well as do sworn officers. Big difference, big differential. So that is something we should be reviewing as well. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Men.
Has there been a study done on offering protective status and, you know, how that would impact financially the department?
There hasn't been a study per se done recently since I've been here, and I've been here about 7 years. I do know that to offer protective status under the Wisconsin retirement system, there are a set of laws under the Wisconsin retirement system that dictate what type of roles and responsibilities would be eligible for protective service benefits. And so it's not that an employer gets to say, hey, I want our, you know, HR person to be protected. There actually has to be function and responsibility that would align with that protective status category under WRS. So I believe, and I haven't done a ton of research on this, but that there are laws and decisions by the employee trust funds, which is the department that runs the Wisconsin retirement system, that define what is a protected service member.
Yeah, Nick.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On the question of providing, you know, reclassifying jailers from, you know, to the protective
class under the employee trust funds. I think what we need from the administration is to look at the full package, the wages and the benefits, and identify what would be best to attract and retain. If providing them protective would do the trick, fine. But I don't think we know that. I think we have to evaluate that as part of the class and comp evaluation. One of the things I kept hearing from the previous director at Brookside was that the employees didn't want the pension. They wanted to pay in their paychecks. So, you know, maybe providing them protective would be the silver bullet. Maybe not, so we have to be careful with that. I did study it three times when I was a CFO. You know, there was a substantial cost. There is some complexity in the law. And, you know, of course, if that is the thing that would do it, then it would be valuable. But I think we, you know, our experts in HR can evaluate that and bring that back. So that I yield the floor.
All right, any further?
Yes. To Supervisor Grady's point, I believe Racine County correctional officers contribute 15% of their wage toward health, or contribution toward health insurance. We're here at the county. If you participate in the wellness program, you could get it as low as 7%.
That's a big chunk.
So that's part of that overall package.
All right, if nothing further, why don't we move on? Yes.
I just wanted to comment also that a couple years ago, the county changed the correctional officers' hours to 12-hour shifts. That was well received. It was a difficult transition for some, but that gave a better work-life balance. Unfortunately, with this number of vacancies, that work-life balance doesn't exist, whether it was 8-hour shifts or 12-hour shifts. But that was something that we did put in place to bring the, not necessarily dollar value, but morale value, and make it a better place to work.
Yes.
And tagging on to that, in both of our tours, talk about quality of work environments. I'll say it nicely, but the caliber of prisoner or inmate coming in today is very stressful compared to what they were taking in 3 years ago. So the tension within the ranks, they're in a very difficult environment and it's getting worse, not better. So I don't envy.
All right, we'll move on. Anything else?
Two other reports. So I'm going to pass this document out. So I'm reporting for information purposes only that we have implemented a wage incentive program for Brookside Environmental Services workers, very similar to what was done for the CNAs. I have this handout outlining the program. So basically, we will be hiring at the midpoint, which is $15.22 an hour, with any ESW or environmental service worker with less than a year. Has been moved up to the 1522, and then any ESW beyond 1 year has moved to 1703, which is the top of that pay grade. We're also offering a premium for any ESW that picks up a weekend shift that is outside of their regular schedule, and we have also added the ESW positions for the eligibility on the referral bonuses.
Anything else? Thank you. Are there any other reports?
General fund report. Everyone should have a general fund report. Please. If I could direct your attention first to the box at the bottom, it shows from last month's projection to this month's projection, it's $300,000. Still puts us at over 32% assigned reserves as a percentage of our general fund expense. So to go through the major material changes from last month's projection, and the items causing increase of the general fund, the human services for all surplus projection is at 2.5 million, so we're a little short of 300,000 better than last month. The majority of that was the further improvement of placements at Division of Children and Family Services. Next one would be sales tax revenue surplus. That increased almost 200,000. That was based on another record month. So five out of the 6 months that we've had this year, they were record months. And the sales tax revenue for June was again a record. So that puts our projection at over $1 million surplus at this point. There are a few minor adjustments to the months below that. And the items causing decrease in the general fund, the overall deficit in the sheriff's department, worsened by 300,000. This was due to further deterioration of budget deficit in the medical inmate, medical and pharmaceutical line items, and the transportation of inmates between facilities.
Could you elaborate a little bit more? So on the medical, is it cost of pharma or cost of a council pharma or?
Yes, it's mostly like pharmaceuticals. There's like this year, we have the pharmaceutical costs in years past, you know, compared to budget.
So a lot of drug interdiction is getting a lot of money.
And that program that we heard earlier tonight would help with it. Health insurance, good side, health insurance deficit is improved by $275,000. 775, that was due to some good claim information.
It's a big difference.
Expenditures, yeah, in the last month. And there are a couple of minor changes. Overall, the other point I want to touch on is that $2.5 million at the bottom of the page here, Pleasant Prairie closing, TIG closing. I saw a report the other day that shows that that figure will be just a hair under 2.5 points. So the projection is pretty good.
All right. Any other reports? Nothing? All right. That concludes the agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So,
was there something else?
The only thing I wanted to note is the CAVR report you had gone by and plan to put back. I've not heard back from Brock. I don't know why he was not here.
We'll put it on
here.
The next agenda,
okay,
and remind him.
Yep. Yes, that I will.
All right. Anything else before we adjourn? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Brian.
All right. Is that right, Brian?
Correct.
Oh. All right, all those in favor say aye.
The resolution to accept the $13,600, I did not.